Guys, hello. We seem a bit, well, we are a bit thinner on the ground this morning. There we go. If you're wondering if things may have changed in some way following the last Monday and so on, I think we probably will be able to ease things in weeks to come. I have had an email from the Beck Centre, which at the moment I'm slightly confused over, so I'm going to have a chat with Ron after this service and see if he's been able to catch up with Helen. And I'm certainly hoping that probably from next week we'll be able to actually sing, even if we sing with masks on. But this week we're on what has been our regular format for the last couple of weeks. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to meet together. We ask for your blessing, Lord, so that we can share it with others. Would you touch us by your Holy Spirit? Help us to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth, even if it can't be in loud voices. Father, we want to bless you as you bless us. So Lord, we commit this time together to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go any further, Tom's going to take the reins today, for which I'm very grateful. Can I ask for your prayers this week in particular? I have been having a very stressful time at work anyway. It's kind of come back to another peak. It's a bit like the pandemic. For any of you that perhaps don't know, I work for the Cumbria Wildlife Trust as Finance and Admin Manager, which is rather a broad role, which has been impacted by the pandemic in terms of generating lots of extra work. Remarkably, and thanks to God's blessing, I believe, as we've prayed, God has blessed the Wildlife Trust financially. So our problems aren't lack of cash, to be honest, but my problem is far too much to do, and it's been a bit of a perfect storm with other factors, which I won't go into, but I just really need your prayers this week. Well, I always need your prayers, but I thought I'd just put you a bit in the picture. I had a really, probably the most stressful day yesterday that I have for years, trying to prepare some stuff for this next week. And it was a struggle. So thank you, everybody, for that. I think at that point I'm going to hand over to Tom. And shall we move out of the way?
It'll just be to announce a song, which then you'll do the prayers.
Because Fred and Mary were going to lead the prayers, but they're broken down on the way here. So what's the song I'm going to announce for you then, Tom?
The song you're going to announce is What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
We're going to have What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Just in case they didn't give.
Right.
Okay.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Well, Lord, it's good just to meditate on that short sentence. What a friend we have in you. Are we weak and heavy laden? Yeah, that seems to sum it up for me at the moment, Lord. But I know that in all things you work for the good of those that love you, who are called according to your purpose. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can trust you in whatever situation, whatever difficulties in which we find ourselves, we know we can rely on you. Lord, help us to grow deeper in our faith and trust, to know what it is to experience your peace in every situation, regardless of the circumstances. I want to pray for Frank in a moment, but Ron, you had a trip out with Frank midweek, didn't you, to the hospital? So has he got an appointment for surgery, or is that waiting?
He had a little over a litre of fluid drained off his
liver. Oh, right.
Which is quite a lot, obviously. He had a set for it to drain out of his pancreas, whatever it was, part of the problem. And then he has to go back in 4 weeks' time to have a set removed. That's
the time. All right. Yeah. So it sounds like they did quite a lot on Wednesday then, really. Yeah. So, Father, we just bring Frank before you, and Pat, of course. Father, we thank you that they were able to do some surgical procedures on Wednesday. Father, we ask for quick recovery now from that surgery, that Frank will quickly recover his strength, and that he'll be in good shape for further surgery in 4 weeks' time. Lord, we do ask, I've just been praying about peace. Lord, may Frank and Pat turn to you and seek peace from you by putting their trust in you, Lord. May they know they are in good hands if they just look to you for strength, that they commit themselves to you without reservation, Lord. Yeah, Father, we ask your blessing upon them. And Father, I would pray also for Richard and Jill's friends that were holidaying in the area, and husband that has gone into hospital with sepsis. Father, we ask your blessing upon him, that he would recover quickly, that he would know that it is by your power that he does so. Father, we pray also for ourselves. Lord, that many of us, well, me included, Lord, we have various aches and pains and bothers. Lord, some obviously much worse than others. Father, we come to you asking for your healing touch. But also, Lord, if now is not the time, Lord, for your strength to endure, to be joyful in the spirit despite whatever difficulties we have. That's not easy, Lord, but we can do it if we trust in you and if you touch us by your Spirit. So we pray for a fresh outpouring upon each one of us of your power, Lord. We pray also, Lord, as the restrictions ease and have eased with regard to the pandemic, and yet the infections seem to grow, Father, that we would be able to make wise decisions about how we proceed with our services and our meeting together. Lord, may we not be fearful, but be sensitive to others and do what you would do, Lord. Father, we pray too for wisdom for our government. Lord, they don't always make the best decisions. Who does? But Father, we pray that you would speak to them, that they would listen. We pray particularly for those MPs that know you, that know they have a friend in Jesus. Father, that they may be a voice that calls out, turn to God. And that they would show by the cross-party unity of spirit that they would have, Lord, they would show that you are Lord, that you are their Lord, that their reactions and behaviours are determined by you. They don't necessarily have to agree on everything, but Lord, they can have unity of spirit. Father, we pray for NHS. Lord, so many of the staff will be really tired, probably frustrated in many ways, and yet still serving the sick. Lord, we ask for your strength for them, for signs of your presence in their workplaces. Lord, may those that know you be a clear witness for you. Strengthen them, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. And Father, we do ask today that you would prepare us during this service for the coming week, that we would now be close to you and remain close to you. Lord, that we would regularly turn our thoughts to you throughout the week, day by day. Father, forgive us when we just, through apathy or just forgetfulness seems an odd thing, but Lord, that for the times when we forget to turn to you, to call upon you, to speak to you, to share our thoughts deliberately with you. Father, may we constantly draw close to you and know the blessing of you drawing close to us as you promised to do. So Jesus, be with us this week. Be our friend. Thank you that you are. Amen.
Now we have our reading.
That's me again then.
Indeed.
I thought I was getting away with it this morning. The reading, as you can see, is from Psalm 40. A psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, there would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, "Aha, aha," be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, "The Lord is great." But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay.
Please do take a moment to stretch. Loosen up your muscles. Do some star jumps and push-ups.
Volunteer
for push-ups over there.
If people like to stand up before you start.
Well, that's what Paul just said.
That's not paying attention. No, you did.
Those chairs are certainly not the most comfortable, he says, as his back goes crunch. Oh, I've got a spotlight as well.
Can you see your screen,
alright? Oh, yes, I can certainly see my screen fine. And that's what we're waiting for. To wait upon the Lord is what I shall be talking about. And there's me forgetting about my mask, Heart of Freedom. To speak with face bared. Now, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand here before you. Please take my words and use them. Please build us all up, and may you be glorified, and may your will be done. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Waiting upon the Lord. It can be a hard thing to do. And one of the crucial things in this is the decision to wait in the first place. It's talking to the Lord. It's including him in our questions and decisions. It's taking that moment to go, "Okay, Lord, so how am I going to proceed here?" Or even if you already feel confident in that particular area, it's remembering him and life moves on at quite a pace. And one can be very immersed in what one is doing. Taking that moment can be hard to remember at the time, at the stress, in the midst of the well of life. And in the midst of struggles, to remember, he's there, he's with us. We have any good Anglicans here? The Lord is here.
His spirit is with us.
There we go. The Lord is here. His spirit is with us. He's with us in the good and in the bad. And it's often hard to remember about him in the good times because things aren't going wrong. But in the bad,
we can look to him. Think of Habakkuk, a prophet at a time in a pretty wretched time in Jerusalem, in Israel. Things have been going from bad to worse. There have been many injustices, innocents being killed, children being sacrificed, the Lord being forsaken, the poor being downtrodden. And Habakkuk has been seeing all this, and he says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." He's not afraid to say, "Lord, where are you in this? Why? Why is this happening? Why? Why is there so much pain in the world? Why is there so much suffering? Why is this COVID here? Why are we having all these problems? Why was there injustice?" And he asks this, and he waits. He chooses to give that question to the Lord and wait. We will come back to Habakkuk. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests," encouraging us to continually bring before God that which troubles us. We're also encouraged to commit to the Lord whatever we do, and he will establish our plans. This isn't so much in the vein of problems going on. This is just in general. Take to the Lord what we're about to do. And that's from Proverbs 16, verse 3. It's okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. I will acknowledge you in what I'm going to do. The choice to trust the Lord. Abraham is well known, at least in name, if not in everything. In Genesis 15, we hear this famous snippet. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be so.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." Offspring as many as the stars in the sky. And Abram at this time is, he's in his mid-80s, I believe. And Abraham is used as an example later on in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11 verse 1 it says, "Faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." To wait for the Lord, it's not just, I've said I'm going to get on with it. It seems to me it's, when you're in a queue, you're expecting to reach the point at the front of the queue. Not that we're queuing for God. Mind you, if there was a queue for God, all we Brits would be there. That would be good for evangelism. There's a queue here for the Lord. He hears all our prayers and petitions. But it's expecting the Lord to do something, holding on to the fact that he has heard, and waiting to see what he does. And that is the hard thing to hold on to, the continual watch. And speaking of watch, we move on. To Habakkuk again. Now, the Lord had replied to Habakkuk, and he said, I'm raising up the Babylonians to deal with this. And the Babylonians were quite a formidable group. They were very proud, they built quite this empire, very ruthless too. Didn't bow before anybody, and I believe it was said they were to themselves their own gods, as it were, basically. I might have that slightly askew, but they were arrogant, and they treated the nation so. But the Lord was going to raise them up and use them as a way to bring justice, judgment to Jerusalem for the many years of injustices and sins. And Habakkuk says, why are you using this people? Why are you using these bunch of sinners, these horrible people, upon people that, you know, don't seem as bad as them? And Lord says, And he says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And the Lord answered, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So again, he's asked the Lord the question, okay, why are you doing this? And the Lord has answered. And he said, okay, revelation is coming. But wait for it. It will come. Wait for it. So expectantly waiting. It's coming, it's coming. Now, Elijah also had a time of waiting. There was a time where there was a drought, and something had been done, and it was time for the Lord, where the Lord would be sending rain back upon Israel. And this is in 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, and Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. I'm not quite sure how physically possible that is. I actually tried it. I was curious. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rainstorm came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. That was another example of waiting. He's He's expecting the Lord to send the rain. But it wasn't evident that it was initially coming. And he kept saying to his servant, go look for it, look for the cloud. And he was like, it's not there. But he persisted, and eventually, that it was, as expected. It can be hard to keep one's sight set on the goal, one's sight set on, is he going to be replying? Is he going to do what he said? I still haven't seen it come up. I've been waiting for healing for my sight for just about my whole life. I'm certain he told me he would heal my sight. I can't remember the exact occasion and how he said it, but I believe he will do it. I keep asking if it will be sooner. That would be nice. Right now? But one day, it will come. Though it linger, wait for it. And then, there's waiting upon the day of the Lord. The day of Jesus' return. Peter says in his second epistle, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming, he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything has gone on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came to being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By those waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Referencing the flood there. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. It certainly feels like there's been a lot of fire recently. Not quite that hot yet. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, again, this is something waiting for, and we're being assured that the Lord has a hold on time. He's got his plans, he's got things worked out, and he knows exactly why he's delaying for that certain amount of time. He's just choosing to trust, keep our eyes on it. In 1 Thessalonians, the day of the Lord again. Brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. Or expectedly, but we just don't know when. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that they should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Again, keep an eye, keep Keep your eye on that distant goal, that focus. We know it's coming. And encourage ourselves with it. In this dark time, we know what's coming. We know that there is a better tomorrow with him. He goes on to say, after a little bit more, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now when you go, I'm not exactly sure what God's will is, just at this particular moment in time, we can be certain we have it here. This is God's will, right there. Pray continually, giving requests to God, coming near to him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, says James. To give to him our requests, to give to him our questions. Why are this happening? As did Habakkuk. And to expect an answer. It may come in a manner we're not expecting. Now, we need to be careful about forcing the outcome ourselves, as Abraham did at one point. It had been a few years after the promise of a son, and he's now in his 90s, at least. Not just yet. It's been a little bit of time. And his wife says to him, Well, I haven't been able to have children, so, take my slave and I will use her as a proxy mother for myself and you have a child with her. Says Abraham, has a child with her. So the slave's name is Hagar, and she conceives. And that causes jealousy between her and Sarah. And she's a bit spiteful. That's really unfortunate. There's a falling out. And the child the Lord takes care of was to be called Ishmael. And became, you know, a bit of a rival of the son who was to come, Isaac. And I believe that a lot of the Muslim nations are kind of derived from Ishmael now. So the Lord said he was going to be a bit of a donkey of a man, I quote, and will be at odds with the nations around him. And the result of the human effort of trying to... Okay, I'm going to take what God said he was going to do and try and do it myself. There were some complications and problems that went over a long period of time. The Lord did make Isaac into a bunch of nations, Ishmael into a bunch of nations as well. Although there were some problems there. And now, the end of the wait. Now, I've been teasing lots of fulfillments. I've been making you wait for the punchlines, as they were. And here they are. Now, the birth of Isaac, as we were talking about Abraham. Now, the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. That Abraham is in his 90s here. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Well, yeah. Even more than 90s. And that was quite a long wait. It was probably about 15 years from the time of the promise to the time of the fulfillment, I believe. And sometimes what we ask God, it can take a long time for there to be a fulfillment of some things. But keep holding on. If the Lord has said something, he will bring it about. The Lord fulfills his promises. As for Habakkuk, the Lord said about the Babylonians that even though they were going to bring judgment on Israel, they too would be receiving judgment for all the deeds that they have done, all the problems that they have caused. The Lord was not certainly not turning a blind eye to them, and that he has heard the outcries, and that he would deal with them. So, I've got it under control, basically, the Lord tells Habakkuk. Got it in hand. There will be justice. And Habakkuk says, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yes, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Okay, Lord, you've got this. You know, it's a bit scary, and things are looking down. But you are my strength. I will look to you, and you will make my feet like the feet of a deer. And prayers answered in ways that we weren't expecting. Let's have a look at Acts 12. Peter's miraculous escape from prison. Excuse me, I just need to wet my whistle. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Now, he'd just been released from prison by the Lord, who sent his angel and helped him out of there. Also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So, they were praying, Lord, please release Peter. And he knocks at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door! You're out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Right up there, praying for the Lord's intercession on here. The Lord has answered. He's there. No, he can't have answered already. But he can answer prayers in the strangest of ways he can. Or, you know, where we weren't quite expecting. He can answer in circumstances, he can answer through other people, through scripture, through song. He can speak through games, through films, through music, through nature. He speaks through all sorts of things. And many just, we wait for him, we look out being vigilant as to where he might talk to us. From what means, and not lock him in a box of this is exactly how he's going to reply. I'm going to finish with an example of a bunch of people who waited for the Lord for quite a long period of history. Now, there is this community of Moravians in Hermhut in Saxony, and that's, I believe that's somewhere in Germany. And that's in 1727, and they decided to commence a round-the-clock prayer watch, and that continued non-stop for over 100 years. Now, they'd had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, quite the revival there. And a spirit of prayer was immediately evident in the fellowship and continued throughout that golden summer of 1727 as the Moravians came to designate the period. And on August 27th of that year, 24 men and 24 women covenanted to spend 1 hour each day in scheduled prayer. Of course, some others enlisted in the hourly intercession, as I doubt the lifespan of those people continued for the whole 100 years. By 1791, 65 years after commencement of the prayer vigil, the small Moravian community had sent 300 missionaries to the ends of the earth. And I believe it had quite an impact in other areas as well. That's quite a long time to commit, that time of drawing to the Lord, pouring one's heart out, and waiting upon him. And that he did use that. We can look to the Psalms as in reading, and we can see constantly the psalmist bringing what's on their heart to the Lord and declaring, okay Lord, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you to answer me. Things are pear-shaped, this is how it is, but in the end, you're faithful, this is what you've done, I'm going to choose to trust you. The Psalms can be very encouraging there, because people like David had gone through quite a roller coaster and quite a lot of raw deals. So, Father, I bring this to you, and I say, please help us to wait on you. Help us to draw near, to look for where you are speaking and how. Help us to understand you more, to grow us in patience. Help us endure, and help us just to keep looking for you in all circumstances, rejoicing and giving you petitions in all circumstances. Lord, we need you. And so, we thank you for your Spirit, and help us to remember to keep including you in our decisions and our lives, to draw near to you and look for you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless each one of you. May he guide you. May his peace be upon you. May he be evident in all your lives. And may people see that and be drawn to him. Say the grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.